Yes. Come ahead, brother.
God bless you. Bless you, brother.
A lot of talk about afternoon service, and I understand about the need to just be at ease in Zion to the point where you're asleep. That has happened to me many times. Well, I shouldn't say many times. It reminds me of one of my favorite stories. This was told to me by Elder Charles Witten of Jackson, Tennessee. And he told me that they had services one Saturday night, and he was to do the preaching. There was about 10 folks there. And halfway through his sermon, he saw that everybody in the church was asleep, including his wife. And he did something that I thought was brilliant. He took his Bible and quietly walked out of the pulpit, walked out of the front door, and walked 2 miles to his house and left them all sound asleep. And he told me this story with his wife, Sister Polly, standing right there. And I turned to Sister Polly and I said, "Well, what did you do?" She said, "I was the first one to wake up. I knew exactly what he did, and I knew I was in a whole lot of trouble." So, I don't know how to get back to the Sarver's house. But if you all want to fall asleep, then I'll let you. And do everything I can to make you feel bad about it later.
We'll probably wake up when you get back.
That's fine. I hope so. Yeah, that'd be funny. But right, I understand. But the way I see it, if I have to stay awake, then so do you. And I'll try to understand, and may the Lord bless it and keep it interesting enough that we would want to just hear what the Lord has for us. And I thought about what I would talk to you about this afternoon, and I thought, well, I'd like to kind of keep going where we were this morning, because there's more to what happened in Philippi than the part that we considered. And so I would like to just begin in the 16th verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. This was after Lydia constrained them to come into her house. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. These things happened frequently in these early days. There were people that were possessed of evil spirits. That really happened. And it may happen today. Do not be distressed by this, because God is more powerful than the devil. And working in the criminal justice system like I do, there are times that I have to go and work on things in the county jail. And I have seen things that make me wonder if this is not the case with some of those people. I don't know for sure, and I just wonder about it. It does give credence to these things that we read. There's a lot that should not distress us to the point where we don't want to know the truth of this. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about what's going on in this thing. I believe that it was an evil spirit, but what the spirit said, I've thought about. These men are the servants of the Most High God. That's true. Jesus said the devils believe and tremble. The devil, every time he quoted a scripture, gets it 100% right. Isn't that interesting? You read that, it's the truth. It says, they show us the way of salvation. I would say, well, devil, you could have said that a little bit better. But this was being said. Paul did not have power, but he did have the name of the Lord Jesus. And he commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus for the spirit to come out, of which it did. Now, this upset her masters, which had gained profit by her soothsaying. That means she told the future. That's what she did. This thing happened. The devil has power. Don't think that he doesn't. God has more power. All this is just for your information. It's not the most important thing about what we're going to consider. But it is important in the story because they were upset that Paul took out the goose that laid the golden egg. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And so they charged Paul and Silas with disturbing the peace. And Paul and Silas were arrested. And they were charged. And they were put in jail. They were beaten. They were brought down into the inner dungeon that is underground, dark and wet. We read this in the 22nd verse, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. They are chained. They are in the inner jail. They have been beaten many times for doing a good thing. Now, we tend to think in our human reasoning that God is obligated by our good works. But we are. We as primitive Baptists can get this way. We're very good about God is not obligated to save us eternally. Amen. He's not. I have been guilty many times of thinking, if I do this, then God will do this for me. And then I get angry at God when he does not do such and such for me. All right? For instance, we have, at the church that I served for 21 years, we had church every Sunday. Every Sunday. I think that's a good thing to do. Churches aren't very close together in the state of Texas. So it's hard to visit when we're so scattered. Now, the first 10 years that I served that church, we tripled in membership. And I thought, I'm doing something right. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at me. It's not me. The next 10 years, we lost all that we gained, and then we lost more on top of that. Now, that got to me. Because I thought, we're having church every Sunday. We preach the truth. We sing the truth. We're doing everything I think we should be doing. We even have lunch every Sunday. Because that's in the Articles of Faith of the Primitive Baptists of Texas. That thou shalt have lunch every Sunday, and every Sunday shalt thou have lunch. There is none Sunday that thou shalt not have lunch. To not have lunch, it is a sin unto you. That is in our Articles of Faith amongst the old Baptists in the state of Texas. It is also in our Articles of Faith, thou shalt have a clock in the church. Y'all are in line, you're in fellowship. Okay. There's a church in Texas that has a clock there and a clock there. So preacher can see it and you can see it too. I made fun, kind of poked fun of a church one time. They didn't have a clock. Said, y'all are out of line. The next day they taped a clock on the pulpit. So there you go. Now, we're doing everything right. I'm calling, I'm visiting them, I'll go see them. We stay, we have fellowship, we prayer, we take prayer requests. To my knowledge, I never preached any untruth or any heresy. We sing out of the good old songs, one of the old song books. We're Orthodox, we're old line. What are we doing wrong? Why are we having trouble? Thing is, here's what I've had to learn. You cannot obligate God to do anything. And God doesn't owe you anything.
Right. Amen.
You're already getting what you don't deserve.
Yes.
You don't want what you deserve.
Right.
You still have it. You're still blessed to go to church. That's more than you deserve.
That's right.
Okay? So, I was told, well, you know, we're a small church. Where two or three are gathered. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. Doesn't bother me. It would bother me if it bothered you to the point that you would not want to keep going. That would bother me. I'm not saying you are. I didn't know this. If you do, shame on you. I'm gonna yell at you if you do. If you don't, good. Good. That's how you should think. There should not be a church that preaches the truth anywhere. And the fact that there is the mercy of God.
Right.
The fact that you are a part of a church that preaches the truth is even more of a blessing. Far more, way more than you deserve. The fact that you've got a hope in your heart that this world is not your home, it's not going to be like this, you're going to heaven, that's so much more. The fact that we live in a nation that allows us to worship freely is a wonderful blessing. So, Paul and Silas have been beaten charged, arrested, chained, and thrown in jail. They have a lot to complain about. But you know what they did? What was the first thing they did? Pray. That's it. That's the first thing you need to do. You pray. You pray for yourself first. You pray that you would be ready to receive the answer from God. Because it may not be the answer you want to get. You may not like the answer you get. Two years ago, we had a great tragedy. Dear friend of mine, a deacon in the church there in Purcell, Oklahoma, wonderful man, wonderful brother, was shot and killed by a disgruntled employee, Brother Mike Winchester. I went to Brother Mike's funeral. There was over 1,000 people there. And a lot of people asked me this question. Brother David, why did God let that happen? There is an answer to that question. Another question along the same lines, why didn't God prevent that from happening? There is an answer. But you're not going to like it. There is an answer to that question. The answer to the question is, we deserved far worse because of our depravity. We cannot expect any good thing because we are bankrupt sinners. That's the answer. Now the thing is that you're asking the wrong question. This is the question. And this is a question we ought to ask about whatever circumstance we are in personally or as a church. And the question is this: what is God doing about it? Now that will get you an answer that will amaze you every time. What is God doing about our problem? Well, we can go back before the beginning of time and find out one thing. He chose you in Jesus Christ and predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. Did God do that or not? I believe He did.
Amen.
Okay? Do you feel to be involved in that situation? I have a hope.
Yes.
All right? God did that, didn't He?
Right.
What's God doing? He did that. If that's all He did, then we're in good shape, right?
Right?
But I think He did more. He did? What did He do? Oh, He preserved us. He preserved us in that state. Okay? He sent His Son to die for our sins. And they're gone. He sent His Spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, giving us divine life. He gave a church. He built His church here on earth. He called men to preach His glorious gospel.
Right.
He opened your heart to hear the gospel. He gave you a hope of eternal glory.
Right.
He walks and talks with you. He speaks to you. You find Him in preaching, in singing, in prayer.
Right.
In sweet meditation, He always is there. It's one of my favorite songs. We have each other. We can fellowship, talk to each other. We call each other brother and sister. That's lovely. I love that.
Right.
The old Baptists stopped doing that. It's the day they ought to be taken to the woodshed.
Yeah.
This world is getting too informal.
That's true.
It is. I mean, I've had young people call me Dave. Really? Seriously? I mean, like, come on. I wouldn't do that. I'm not a stuffed shirt, but I think there's some things we need to have respect toward. And I find, and this is me being a stick in the mud, I've gone to Primitive Baptist churches and I've been called, we're going to have Dave preach for us. That bothers me. I'm not talking about Methodist or Roman Catholic. I'm talking about Primitive Baptist. Remember when Saul, who was called on the road to Damascus, and the Lord came to Ananias and said, I want you to go preach to him, and all that happened. And remember when Ananias came and found him? You know what he said?
Right.
Brother Saul.
Right.
It's the most beautiful first name you'll ever be getting, brother or sister. Every time you say that, it's a sermon in and of itself. Now, God is doing that for us. He's doing that right now. He does hear our prayers. He does answer his prayer, our prayers. He is coming back to take us home. And all our troubles will be over. But until that time, we will suffer tribulation. We are troubled, Paul said, on every side. And so, when trouble happens or things do not work out the way we want them to, and they will always not work out, and you are going to get disappointed. And I have had to step on my toes. Why would you ever be disappointed with God? How could you even entertain such a notion? And so then I do this. And this is a common thing to do. Then it must be my fault. It's got to be my fault. I'm doing something wrong. Well, duh, you're always doing something wrong. Did you just start doing wrong things? Really? I mean, I've never sinned until I turned 50, right? Now, that's why the church is seven. Because you all of a sudden decided to be a sinner. You've been sinning since the day you were born. It's everybody's fault, if that's the case. Well, maybe the church is better off without me. Oh, so join the club. Join everybody else that's leaving then, right? That's the answer. Just follow these. Aren't you glad we're not the Savior?
Amen.
Right? Aren't you glad we're not the Holy Ghost? God is a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. God declares the end from the beginning. Okay, God has worked all these things out, and so we walk by faith. And when we encounter these situations, even when this is not our fault, this is a sad thing that's happened, you go to God in prayer. There they are in prison. Here, let me read it. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. There you go. What else did they do? What else do you do in that circumstance? What did they do? They what? You know what they did? They sang. They sang. Paul and Silas prayed unto God and sang. What did they sing? What did they sing? Praises. We talked about that, brother. Talked about it. Praises. What have they got to praise God about? They've been beaten. They're chained. They're in prison for doing something right. And they're still praising God. Amen. Praise God. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. They sang praises unto God. Now, this is how I think. My question is this. What number did they pick? What book did they use? Now they use the book, Sister Sherry. Book, the greatest song book ever written. You know what it is? Amen. The Book of Psalms. That's the only song book that doesn't have any error in it.
Right?
All right?
So they didn't sing Precious Memories, did they? They didn't sing Won't It Be Wonderful There. They didn't sing The Great Redeemer. They didn't sing Amazing Grace. They didn't sing Grace Is a Charming Sound. I'm still curious. Which one did they sing? There's 150 songs. Which one did they sing? This is what I started doing some research. Now, I'm going to give you the condensed version of my research. This is, and you can disagree and be fine, and I still like you. Okay. There is a section in the book of Psalms that is called by the Jews to this day, it is called the Great Hallel. H-A-L-L-E-L, which word Hallel means praise. We say the word hallelujah, that means praise to God. And there are a section of Psalms they call the Great Hallel. And when they are going to sing praises to God, they go to that section. Now, you don't have to believe this. I think it makes sense. When they, as being Jews, were going to sing praises to God, they went there. I can see Saul or Paul and Silas singing these psalms. And when I turned and looked at them, I thought, wow, they're singing these in jail. It starts with, let me get to it real quick. And I build it up so much, and now I'm going to let you. Here we go. Psalms 113. The Great Hallel starts in 113, and it's Psalms 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, and Psalms 138. All right? You can remember that, can't you? Right. Starts in 113. Now, read with me. Psalms 113, verse 1. Read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Keep in mind, most likely, this is what they're singing in jail. We sing a song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm sad sometimes. You ever been worn out? Broke down, worried, don't know where to go. You pray. Then I sing. I'm not in a mood to sing. People say, I'm just not in the mood to go to church. Fine, sometimes I'm not in the mood to preach. So I don't want to preach. I'll tell Leslie, I hope we got a visiting preacher because the preacher ain't showing up. But you got to do what you got to do. You got to do it. I don't feel like going to church. You still ought to go. That's when you need to go. That's when you need to go. Well, I'm not worthy to go to church. I already know that. Go anyway. Well, I'm being blessed. We'll keep praying. Sing. Life's not going the way I want it to. Sing praises to God. Because I guarantee you, that's one thing you're not going to see in heaven. We get to heaven. Is any one of you can come to me and say, Brother David, just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, I just expected a lot more. No, you're going to be up there saying, it half wouldn't even told me. It's going to take all eternity to figure this out. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed be the name. Look at verse 7. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. That's what they're singing. Look at verse 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice
and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Listen to this. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's praise to God. That's giving God. That's telling it like it is.
Right.
Psalms 117, two verses. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise ye the Lord. All ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That's what
it makes me just, it springs goosebumps to me to think about, there they are.
Right.
And they're singing out loud. It says the prisoners heard their singing. They're not ashamed to let people know. And they're not ashamed to give God glory. And they're not ashamed of God. And they're not angry at God. And they're not angry at anything. They're just giving God glory because they have been blessed to even suffer for his name's sake.
Right.
And then if Psalms 118, there's so much here, but let me read verse 21, Psalms 18. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord with his shoulders light. Bind the sacrifice of cords. It just goes on. Oh, finally, it ends. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now, do you want to know? Do you know the most repeated expression in the Word of God? And that it is said 53 times in the Word of God? It's that last expression, for his mercy endureth forever. There are some verses that are in the Bible twice. There are. There's a couple of Proverbs, a couple of things in the Psalms.
Right.
There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death, that's twice.
Right.
So it's okay to preach the same sermon, Brother Carey.
Yes, sir.
The Lord did that. Sister says, I know, I hear him say the same all the time. Right. She gets it. I apologize to Sister Leslie, oh, you already heard this one before. She goes, yeah, but maybe this time you'll get it right. I had one of the kids say, Dad, I think I'm finally beginning to understand that sermon after the fifth time. All right, so, but the 53 times. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon 53 times. But if I did, this would be a good one. This is one I need to know. His mercy endureth forever.
Right.
If his mercy ever stop, we're doomed. Now, that is this sermon I am preaching to myself. I know somebody in this congregation really needed to hear this sermon. And it's me. This sermon is not for you. Okay? I'm preaching this to me. If the shoe fits, wear it. But it's fitting me. Now, because here's the thing. I have been discouraged many, many times recently in the past 5 years because of the situation. But God knew everything that was going to happen. And I will tell you this. Things are wonderful now. And they did not work out the way I thought they would, but they worked out brilliantly according to God's wisdom. And all I can do is say, thank you. Praises be unto the Lord. So, they sang these songs, the prisoners heard, and then suddenly there was an earthquake.
This earthquake was the strangest earthquake that has ever happened, because the only damage that it did wasn't any damage at all. It opened every door to every cell in that prison. That's all it did. The greater miracle happened next. The greater miracle is this. None of the prisoners escaped. Paul said, we are all here.
Right.
It said there's other prisoners. Not one of them escaped. That's a great miracle. There is a greater miracle that happened. The jailer came in trembling. He was going to fall on his own sword, but Paul said, we're all here. Do yourself no harm. He came in trembling. What must I do to be saved? There's something happened to him. That's a greater miracle. See, miracles happen when you don't expect it or you're not looking. And a lot of them we miss. And Paul said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and all thy house. Now, he's not talking about being saved to go to heaven. He's talking about having this confidence that Paul and Silas had. The jailer's confidence was in his job and in his ability to be a jailer. God showed him he's nothing, and he is going to take his own life. The better way to live, and y'all already know this, is to believe in Jesus Christ and to have faith and confidence in him. And to say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Right.
All right? The more you go in God's kingdom, the more of that salvation you experience here on earth. And that is a salvation. And that is a salvation we constantly need and we should constantly ask for. Now, the jailer is going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be baptized. His whole house is going to be baptized. He's going to take the chains off Paul and Silas. He's going to wash their stripes. He's going to entertain them and feed them. And when they come to fetch Paul and Silas the next day, they got some good news. The magistrate says, oh, just go tell them to let them go. They're going to be happy to hear about that. Look what God's already done. He's got them out of jail. He's got them fed. He's got them clothed. Even the jailer's converted. And his whole household. God got there before you did and did any better than you. Who needs the world's good news or bad news or whatever news? This is good news.
Right.
This is the best news.
Amen.
And you can't outdo God. And if we're looking for the world to get our satisfaction or to get our confirmation that we're doing all right, we will fail at every opportunity. We will never be satisfied, and there's no contentment in that. But there is in a life with our Lord and amongst his people.
Yes.
And you will find contentment there. And you will find a degree of satisfaction. Now, I'm going to ship a Primitive Baptist sacred cow up the river. And I've said this too. The best we can hope for is contentment. We're going to get satisfaction in heaven.
Amen.
But did you know that we can have some of that satisfaction right now? Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just content with Him? Are you satisfied with God's grace? Or are you just content? Is it just going to be okay for a little while? There are things we're going to have in heaven. We've got them right here. Those are things to be satisfied.
Right.
All right. I'm satisfied with the church. The only thing I want to change in the church is me to do better.
Right. Exactly.
Are you satisfied with the doctrines of grace? Or do you think we need to change it? No. I'm content with how things are
on certain levels. I'm satisfied with things on every level.
Yeah.
God is the author of it. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate that.